Privacy Settings on FUBAR Radio.
Hello and welcome to Privacy Settings, the show where I go through your favourite people's phones to expose their grubby little secrets. My guest today is a comedian, a classical percussionist, and a proud Zushin. He loves Crocs, sometimes bins full bags of cookies, and once stole some studs from Sports Direct. It's Vittorio Angeloni.
Hey.
That's good enough.
Yeah, I would like to say that it was one bag of cookie once.
One.
And then one stud from Sports Direct.
Am I going to have to do it again?
No.
Okay, good.
I would just like to clarify for the listener.
Yeah, I think that is good.
I wouldn't dare make you do that again.
God, that was one of the most stressful things that's ever happened to me. I've never broken like that before.
You lost it?
Yeah, completely.
Was it Huey Lewis on Nevermind the Buzzcocks smashing your mug across the desk?
Yeah, walking out like Preston.
Yeah, there was Huey Lewis didn't walk out. Preston did walk out. And then now it's, I feel like new Nevermind the Buzzcocks is a bit more tame.
Yeah.
Greg Davies is a friendlier face than Simon Amstell.
Which you wouldn't have expected.
No, of the two of them, but I think, I don't know, I thought Greg Davies, I mean, he's obviously brilliant at everything he does, but, like, he doesn't know anything about music. I just thought the new Buzzcocks should be, like, you know, a trendy, cool music person. Me.
So in a trendy Guildhall, yeah. I was wondering why you thought
this.
It was
a long way around for me to say I should be hosting Nevermind the Buzzcocks.
Yeah, but I bought it.
Yeah.
I was in, and then I was like, oh, fuck, he's tricked me, it's him. That's so smart. Vittorio Angeloni, is your phone Catholic or Protestant?
Oh, I've done this one before. I think iPhones are Catholic and Androids are Protestant.
Okay, guess what I've got.
You got an Android.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, Protestant.
Yeah.
It's because at the iPhone factories, they have nets to prevent suicides, which is very Catholic.
Can I have your Catholic phone?
You can. There you go.
Thank you so much. Finally.
Enjoy. I need a new case. It's slightly fraying at the bottom.
Oh, yeah. So what's happening down at the bottom that's frayed it so much?
I don't know. I think I do drop it every so often.
Mm,
and like the only way I can stay off my phone is by like violently throwing it across the room. Like if I get stuck in like a bit of a doom scroll, I will in my living room go, fuck off to my phone as if it's the one making me do that. But I guess it is the one making me do that in a way.
Yeah, it is. We've got a notification from Mike Rice.
Oh dear, what's he said?
It says notification.
Is it in the Guide to Parenting WhatsApp group?
It is, yeah.
Do you want me to use my face?
Do you have a passcode?
I do, yeah. I can tell you it.
How many numbers is it?
Four. I'm not a six. Send any pics we got today. That's what Mike said. I locked that again just out of fucking habit.
That's good. That's good. You've also bricked it, I think, right?
Yeah, my phone's bricked up, which in America means has a boner, doesn't it?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's nice. And bricks sometimes mean poo.
Bricks mean poo?
I think so. Dropping a brick.
Wow. Dropping a brick. That's
I might be funny. Thinking of logs.
I think logs are definitely poo, but I can imagine bricks being. Dropping a brick is such a visceral way to describe pooping.
Yeah. There's a picture of a boy drinking some Fanta.
Small boy drinking Fanta. Do you want to guess? People always guess who that is. It's my lock screen, by the way.
Oh, yeah, sorry. It's lock screen. If you're on Spotify, click to the video or whatever. It's a big can of Fanta or a small boy, I suppose.
I think it's a small boy.
Yeah. Is it you?
No, people often think it's me.
Well, I didn't think it was you.
No, it's my little cousin Louis, who is now like 16 and hates that picture is my lock screen on my phone. But I just think it's such a funny picture. He's like 7 in that picture, tiny little boy, big Fanta, bag of chips.
Yeah.
And he just looks like the sun is sort of blinding him. So he's sort of squinting at the camera and he looks unbelievably hungover as a 7-year-old.
Is it just because it makes you laugh? You enjoy
Yeah, it just makes me happy every time I see it.
How long have we been with that picture?
Lock screen?
Yeah.
The guts of 10 years.
10 years?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's moved from phone to phone.
Is that the longest joke you ever continued?
Oh. I probably. It's not much of a joke. Well, no, I'd say the longest running joke in my family is that my dad once confiscated my older brother's phone, Sony Ericsson at the time.
Oh, yeah.
Black with some orange on it, I think. The ones where it was polyphonic. Do you ever do that with your phone where you put it in your mouth and go, wah, 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 wah?
I still do. Honestly, still do.
And it's
I think
so
it's
fun.
So fun.
And those are the first ones you could do that because it used to be just like, boop, boop, boop. But now it's the, and my dad confiscated it off him because my brother did something wrong. Nobody can remember what.
Mm.
But he put it in a safe place and never found it ever again.
What?
It's in the house we still live in.
Right.
And nobody has ever found this Sony Ericsson. And that was truly 20 years ago.
Incredible. I'd love if it rung one day.
So the running joke in the family is if something's lost, it's with Dario's phone.
Okay. The background, we've just got a blurred out picture of the wallpaper.
Yeah, it's just that. I don't know what's the benefit of having something different in behind all your apps. You know what I mean? I've got too many apps and they're badly organized at the minute. This is a bad day for me to do this podcast.
Yeah, how do you feel about this? Because I was expecting a much more organized...
There are some folders on the go.
Yeah, there are.
And some of them have funny names. Not funny, very boring names.
Funny things like food and things.
Food and things.
That's funny.
And then one of them says antisocial, I think.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, one of them says money and hose.
Money and hose, that'll be all the banking apps.
Yeah.
Very little hose going on, I would say, but mostly money.
It is... I would actually argue zero apps for hoes.
I'd say there were hoes involved in the Santander corporate machine.
You think so?
I'd say there's at least three hoes working for Santander globally.
There's only one way of finding out. Drop in the comments.
If you're a hoe who works for Santander, drop me a message. Jessica Ennis Hill advertises for Santander. Is she a hoe?
I'm going to say no.
Rory McIlroy, he advertises. Lewis Hamilton, he's a bit of a hoe.
Yeah.
I saw today that he might be... dating
a
someone. Someone. Who's Lewis Hamilton dating?
Jamie, pull that up.
Pull it up.
Pull it up.
Pull it off. Who? Kim Kardashian.
Kim Kardashian?
Yeah.
Well, that's... She's a hoe.
She is a hoe. I don't think you can deny, if you're Kim Kardashian, that you are a hoe. She built her life on being a hoe. Her whole thing. That's a funny little bit of fun. The Twitter account for the podcast only follows Kim Kardashian.
Oh, yeah.
Just thought that'd be funny.
Does she ever follow back?
No.
What a hoe.
Big time hoe. she works for Santander by extension.
Well, oh, wait. So if you are a hoe, you could get a job at Santander, you think?
If you're a hoe, fill out an application form today.
Is it the hoeiest bank?
Hoeiest bank? Oh! No, it's not a bank, is it? Scottish Widows? The horse bitch.
The horse bitch? You mean Lloyd's TSB?
No, Lloyd's have just the horse.
Yeah.
But Scottish Widows is the hooded lady riding the horse.
I don't think she's ever riding
she's
a horse.
She's very young to be a widow. I think she's absolutely fucking riding a horse.
I think she's often looking at the horse.
This is crazy. She's riding the horse.
There's no pictures of her riding the horse.
Also, it's a different lady. This is like Doctor Who. There's different actors playing the Scottish Widow.
They regenerate each year.
Good God. Their husbands don't.
We haven't seen it. Can you search Scottish Widow riding horse and turn safe search on?
it doesn't look like it's in the ads.
Is this like the Mandela effect?
Have I imagined the Scottish Widow riding a horse?
Now who's that?
Get the whole ad up. Get on YouTube.
Yeah, huge.
And just click through random videos until the actual ad is Scottish Widows.
Perfect.
Yeah. Here we go. Who the fuck's YouTube algorithm is that?
Yeah, this is a
lo-fi hip-hop mix beats to relax / study to? Are you a 13-year-old doing your GCSEs? What the fuck?
Do you know the average age of the staff at this station?
Yeah. Pop hits 2026? Yuck.
Okay.
Okay, this is a Scottish Widows from the YouTube account Dundee Mink. Here we go.
Regulated by the Personal Investment Authority. There's a Scottish Widow. Now that looks like a rideable field and she's walking.
She's walking. Where's the horse, lady? She's a traitor. She's certainly dressed like a traitor.
I think she was 100% faithful to her husband, actually.
Because there's never anybody riding the horse in the Lloyd's ads, are they? No, that's Lloyd.
That's Lloyd!
What that's not a fuck? Scottish Widow's ad. That's a Lloyd's ad. These are all old ads. I'm talking recent.
You're talking recent.
I'm talking mid-2000s, early 2010s maybe.
God, you really do. Our producer really Googles.
Scottish
like,
Widow's advert 2021.
Yeah, you Google like a boomer.
Can you please find me a Scottish Widow to copulate with? That's what he's typing for the listeners.
Yeah. Advery. Can't even spell advert. This is a fucking nightmare. Victoria, I'm sorry about this.
No, I'm actually loving it. This is like the exact type of autism I have.
Just watching like someone.
Just going, I need to know the answer to this pointless bit of information.
Right, here we go.
Here we go, 2021. Okay, what?
So there's a woman walking through.
This is not right. I imagine this is a time
taking on your taking on your future together.
Have I fucked this up?
I think you've put Lloyd's and Scottish Widows together.
One of the suggested videos said 40 minutes of silence.
49 minutes of silence.
What the fuck?
How many views does that have, Hugh?
29,000 views.
Not as many as who do you think you are? I am.
Yo, my special is better than 49 minutes of silence. Although it felt very similar to that when I performed it in County Tyrone.
Oh, you are actually playing this now. This is the worst show on the radio. This is two people watching a YouTube video that's just a black screen with a dot in it. It says 49
Somebody
minutes
must
of silence.
Have done a reaction video to this, and if not, we should do it.
Oh, yeah, should we do this?
Reacting to 49 minutes of silence.
Right, you've bricked your phone, Vittorio.
Yeah, you told me that this isn't new for privacy settings.
No, Rosie Holt came on and had bricked Instagram and everything, so we couldn't look at much. But you bricked your phone for 14 hours, 37 minutes.
That's what we're on at the minute, yeah. Because I brick it at nighttime, so that when I wake up, my phone is useless and the brick is stuck to my fridge.
So you've left the house bricked?
I leave the house bricked every day.
Do you?
No, I don't. Sometimes I will leave the house bricked, but then the brick is in my bag just in case, like...
You need to unbrick.
I need to do something.
How new is the brick in your life?
I would say in the last 4 months.
Oh, yeah.
4 months, it's good. It's good when I'm at home because you get that routine of like, it's over there, dum-de-dum, you know. But then on tour, it's a bit like, I either forget to bring the brick or the brick's too accessible because it's in my pocket.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Has it helped?
Yeah. What I will say is like, the times where like it really helps you be off your phone because it sort of just like incapacitates your phone. But then... when it's unbricked, I feel like it might be worse than it was before. Like how much I'm on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it feels like precious unbricked time.
It's just, I haven't drunk the whole of January, so I'm going to drink all the pints I would have had in January.
Yeah,
now.
I tried to do dry January. Like, drank four times.
That's pretty good. A question about your phone. Are you still tracking Mike Rice with an AirTag?
He's not moved his AirTag to the new backpack yet.
Terrible.
Because he used to have just like a Nike backpack or like Adidas or something. And then... but then he got this like gay bag in Florence that his mum was like, that's nice. It's like this weird leather satchel. Yeah. And genuinely, like if somebody else had that, I would think that's a nice bag. But it's just so against his whole aesthetic that it makes absolutely no sense for him to run about like entirely in Uniqlo clothes and just have a Florentine leather.
Leather?
Leather bag on his back.
It's like if he was wandering around with a Louis Vuitton Weekender or something.
Navy and brown leather. And the zippers have that sort of like, you know, like the scout symbol, which is actually like an old sort of like army thing. It's got like three things.
Oh, yeah.
You know that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's got that, like that is the zipper and it's just all, it's all.
It's all over the place.
Doesn't suit him.
No.
I'm not saying it's bad or that he's bad, but I just think like a Uniqlo outfit needs like a bag, a slightly more casual bag than a leather bag.
Yeah,
so he hasn't moved the AirTag to that, which does upset me. So it's just like in a bag in his house.
Just sitting around.
Yeah, and this is the hard thing. You know, you try to keep tabs on your pal and make sure he doesn't leave his bag somewhere.
But then he's constantly
then he's
left his bag
then
somewhere.
He's constantly, exactly. Yeah, so it's just at his fucking gap. Yeah.
Well, Vittorio, thanks for not bricking us. It's time for a break, but don't go anywhere because soon we're going to find out what Vittorio learned at his Irish lesson this week. Slán Ihualia, Ihiwa, Cola Mavanya, Nola Kona Gwich.
Pretty good.
It's all right, right?
Pretty good.
Privacy settings with Will Seabag Montefiore on FUBAR Radio. Privacy settings on FUBAR Radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to Privacy Settings on FUBAR Radio with me, Will Seabag Montefiore, the show with relatable phone humor. Hey, Vittorio, don't you hate it when your phone be buzzing?
I stress the bag in your name too much.
Yeah.
I've been saying Will Seabag.
Oh, that's nicer.
Seabag.
Well, I think it should be Seabag. Like, that's way nicer than Seabag.
Where's it from, the name Seabag?
Seabag and Montefiore are like plonked together. It's like old Sephardic Jewish families were like, let's put these names together. And in like the fucking 16th century or something crazy. And then went through all different iterations, died out and stuff. So originally it's from like Italy and like Morocco, Spain.
Oh, because I assumed that was a double barrel job.
It is, but from way, way back.
Yeah, it's not like your parents are called something Seabag and something Montefiore.
Dad's Seabag Montefiore. My mum's main name is Power, so it could have been Will Power. Which was a huge mistake.
Will Parr.
Yeah, but yeah, big old famous name.
Sorry, you said something about a phone buzzing.
It was a terrible intro joke that Hugh wrote. Don't you hate it when you... Repeating is even worse. Don't you hate it when your phone be buzzing?
As in on vibrate?
I don't know, yeah. Your notifications. Do you get a lot of notifications, I suppose, is that where he was
going with it? Yeah, fucking hell. Yeah. I just never... It's not on buzz. It's not on... I think it comes from like school and then like orchestra rehearsals. My phone makes no noise anytime anybody... The only noise my phone makes is if I'm like watching something deliberately or my alarm in the morning.
Mm.
But I'm working on a new alarm clock. Oh, yeah? I thought I was being so cool yesterday because we had an alarm clock that the second hand is a smooth swoosh, like it doesn't tick. And I was like, great, because my girlfriend's a really light sleeper, so she doesn't like noises in the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, so we got this, and then she can hear the...
The whoosh.
She can hear the... All those little quartz. She's mad. And I was like, right, well, that's annoying. But then I was like, I'm a man. I'm going to take it apart and take the second hand off it. And that'll work. So I spent like an hour yesterday like taking the back off this alarm clock and unscrewing this tiny little screwdriver, like really fiddly stuff. Got it. Got right down to the sort of mechanism of the thing. Couldn't get the second hand off and was like, well, fuck. Put it all back together. It don't work anymore.
It's so devastating when you're like, I can do this. I know stuff.
I just would love to be one of those guys.
So good. It would be so good. Not.
Really hard to find an alarm clock that's analog that doesn't have a second hand.
Crazy.
Because when you search like tickless, they all are like smooth motion, like sweeping second hands. But it's like, why does this have a second hand?
Who's counting the seconds on their analog alarm clock?
Exactly. What the fuck is the point?
What's the ringtone of the alarm clock? Is it
one? Beep, 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 beep.
Horrible. Beep, beep. I can't believe people like that is the market for alarm clocks. It's beep 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 or a bell.
Like,
yeah. In fact, it's not like some gentle, like beautiful music.
Yeah, the iPhone one.
Yeah.
Ding 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 ding. That's my morning alarm on my iPhone.
Greg Davis could never. Could never.
He wouldn't even try.
No. He wouldn't even know how.
Can I hear your alarm? Sorry. I'm trying to make this a phone podcast.
Someone needs to try. My alarm.
I'll play you mine if you play me yours.
Finally. Oh, this is, I think, actually a bit embarrassing.
That's all right.
It's Luar by Bright Eyes.
Oh, it's an actual song.
Yeah.
This is the benefit of Android, isn't it?
But if it's not that, every so often, it'll be... horrific.
What's that in and why do I know it? I think Mike used to have that phone.
It's called Homecoming, that...
Kanye West?
Yeah.
Featuring Chris Martin?
I do. Usually mine is Heil Hitler by Kanye.
Right. But he said sorry now. Actually a very good apology of like, I'm so sorry, I've had brain damage for years. Like that was actually Kanye's apology.
Yeah, I mean, it's that.
It was it's good that you know that now.
Yeah, yeah. it's a shame you did it after releasing the Heil Hitler song.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you know he like pivoted and changed that to Hallelujah?
No,
remarkably similar phrases.
Yeah.
Hail Hitler. You know what I mean?
Like, hallelujah.
You could start one and sort of pivot to the other.
Yeah. It's like...
Can I get a hallelujah?
What did they say? Oh, no.
That's so bad. Do you want me to play you my alarm?
Yeah, please. You're a strong man. You will get up. You will do better. You're doing great already. I'm proud of you. You should be proud of yourself. This is nice. Do you do this when you wake up?
Yeah.
Start conducting.
And that tends to be when I stop it.
That's actually quite nice. That's actually quite a nice...
It's good.
The ringtone. What's it called?
What the fuck is it called?
Wasn't really.
Early riser.
Early riser.
Alarm time for every single day? 8:35.
Every single day?
Pretty much, barring exceptional circumstances.
Right, and then it's...
Alfie Brown got, like, annoyed at me that my alarm was at 8:35 every day.
Because it's 8:35.
He's like, that's fucking mental that you get up at 8:35 every day. And he said, that's a time of day that like Sam Campbell would get up.
Nah, it's he'd like be 8:33, surely.
Yeah, see, something weird. But then I was like, why do you get up at 8:35? And I was like, 8:30 is a bit early.
Yeah.
It is.
I firmly believe.
It's a bit early.
You're getting up at 8:25. That's a bit of a lie.
Loads early. It's just a bit early.
8:30. Yeah, that's school time.
That's so much earlier than so many comedians.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The number of 2 p.m. cunts that I know is sickening.
It's staggering. You can't, like, 2 p.m., you can't be doing that. But so many are.
Hard.
And are going on podcasts comfortably.
I had to do
it.
That one Edinburgh Fringe when I was doing my crowd work show, and it was at, like, 10:25 every night.
Yeah.
And then so I would finish at 11:30, and then it's like, you know, you have, like, one drink, and then it's sort of one before you know it. But then to get up for a show at 10:25 p.m., it was like I had to sleep in till like 1 p.m.
Yeah.
For my brain to be able to like do it. And I hated it.
Horrible. You feel dirty.
I hated it.
Dirty inside and out.
Get me up. Get me going. Although when I was a teenager, I was a big sleep in
till
fucking 4 p.m.
We all slept through our history mock exam.
I did it once at uni. I had a rehearsal that was at like 4:30 and I slept in and missed it. Sleeping in for a 4:30 p.m. rehearsal feels pretty bad.
That's almost impressive. Yeah. You're so good. Instagram. You're on this Instagram thing. I've seen you. You follow two people.
I follow two people on Instagram.
Who are they?
Jerry Adams and the bowler, Pete Webber.
The only two people we can be certain were never in the IRA.
Exactly.
Why these two?
So my special that's out right now, Who Do You Think You Are? I Am. That's about how Pete Webber is my hero.
Mm-hmm.
And number one, I think he's great. And number two, I think it's a really lovely Easter egg for people that when they left that show and maybe they went to follow me on Instagram, I was only following one person at that time. And they go, who the fuck? And then they click on it. It's like, I like the idea that I can give people another laugh on the way home.
Yeah, it is. And I think the addition of Jerry Adams
that's
is
for
even
the
funnier.
New, that's for the new show.
It's for the new show.
It's for the new show.
You can't say nothing anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On tour around the UK and Ireland and America and Australia and New Zealand and Europe.
You probably should have just listed where it wasn't, actually.
The Middle East.
There you go. So with each show, you'll grow your following one person.
Yeah, I don't have it. Brian Friel doesn't have Instagram, who my first show is sort of based off of.
My main.
The other one I would do would be Richard Curtis, because I had like an anti-Richard Curtis joke in my first show.
Oh, yeah?
Because he, like, one of the scenes from Love Actually is sort of stolen from the play that my first show is about.
From translations.
Yeah. It's the one where when they fall into the lake and they don't speak each other's languages, but they're saying the same things to each other. That's just sort of completely lifted from translations by Brian Friel. And then I got audience members on that tour to tweet Richard Curtis and say, we know what you did. Because it's like just a vague accusation that he might admit to something way worse. I thought that would be very fun. But then he deleted Twitter and doesn't have, I don't know if it was because of me.
I think it was.
And doesn't have Instagram, so.
That's not like an Englishman to steal something from the Irish.
I know.
That's crazy.
Really against type.
That's unbelievable. Mm. You used to follow nobody on Instagram.
No.
No?
I never followed nobody. I followed like a normal, like maybe, I tried to keep it under 1,000. I just thought that looked nice.
Yeah.
That it was a small number.
And then when did the call happen?
When I was, I can't remember whether it was when I was going up to the Fringe to do Who Do You Think You Are I Am or whether it was on the tour that I had the idea of like that would be a funny thing.
Mm.
But I had to do it in batches because if you unfollow everybody, Instagram thinks you've been hacked and they like block your account.
Yeah.
And I didn't want that to happen. So I had to do like, it was like 50 a day for 20 days to like get rid of the 999 people. But I was like quite a meticulous process of like, because that show in particular was about how like, I had sort of ruined my own reputation amongst comedians and
by being bullied by them.
Yeah, that and being a little bit arrogant, admittedly. But then the like I had to unfollow it in batches of people who wouldn't be annoyed contextually.
Right.
So I had to leave all the comedians until like the last batch to and then by the time they saw it they would be like, oh, he only follows one person.
Right.
I can't take that personally. I can't explain how many people have actually taken that personally.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
And also unfollowed me, which I'm like, fine, obviously grand, but like, what? That's a weird thing to me.
Mm.
That it's like, you were only following me, which is fine because I was following you. But I don't think I was doing that for anybody else, really. Maybe that's just me being weird. Like, no, I don't do the polite follow back if I don't want to see what you're posting.
No, that's fair. I think it's a weird one that it feels so personal, but it's like this, it's a separate brand. It's a separate thing to yourself.
Yeah,
but then someone unfollows you, like, how could they unfollow you?
Yeah, it does feel personal, which is why I had to sort of like cull through it gradually. And then I think I got a couple messages over the course of that 20 days. People have been like, oh, what the fuck? And I'm like, oh my God.
It's not about you.
I mean, God only knows how many people took that personally, but I don't know. And then I feel obliged to say to people, like if somebody goes like, oh, what's your Instagram? Like another comedian or whatever.
Yeah.
They'll be like, what's your Instagram? And I'm like, oh, it's this. Just so you know, I won't follow you back because I follow two people. And it's just like a wee joke for people.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh. And but then it's like, well, I just felt like I should tell you because I don't want to be a fucking dick about it. But then I feel bad sometimes. Like Aaron Chen followed me yesterday and I think he's so fucking funny.
Yeah.
And like really nice. And then it's just like, oh.
God, you're a prisoner of your own making.
It's just a wee joke. I just like it.
It's just a wee joke.
It's I just like jokes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it sounds like you're on trial.
People just, like, do think that I have like nothing on my Instagram feed.
Nothing.
But it's just like, because I only follow two people.
I bet it'd be full of shit, surely.
It's just the same as everybody else's.
Yeah, yeah.
Your feed isn't who you follow.
No, I don't see any of my friends.
Exactly.
See fucking you and Mike Rice constantly, and that's it.
Me and Mike Rice.
And Finn Taylor sometimes.
And then I see Jerry Adams talking about whatever event or book he's flogging at the minute. And I see Pete Weber talking about the Masters veteran bowling tournaments he's taking part in. And every time he's doing this thing at the minute where he posts and goes like, if you guess, I'm playing three matches this weekend at this tournament. If you guess my total score, then you'll win this like signed playing card or whatever, signed like trading card of me. And every time I guess that he's going to have three perfect games. I'm like, 900. You're going to get 900. I believe in you, Pete. 900. Although a week ago, I messaged him. I was like, oh, hey, man. Because he did a cameo for me to announce me to the stage for the show, for the tour. And in the cameo, he was really lovely. He was like, oh, you wrote a comedy show about me being your hero. That's crazy. Like, I hope you film it and somebody sends it to me. And then I like tagged him loads over the course of the year, and he followed me back, which is fucking crazy, like very early on. And I sent him the thing. When it came out on YouTube, I was like, oh, you said like, you know, somebody sent it to you for filming. He's like, oh yeah, so I'm going to watch it this week. And that was 2 weeks ago. So I don't know if he doesn't like it, but there is sort of jokes that I would say are like playful about him.
Yeah.
But I can see how somebody might take that badly.
Because
I say bowling
nice.
Is a silly sport and he has dedicated his life to that.
But if you don't know that as a bowler, that's crazy.
It's also because I say it's a funny thing to be arrogant about.
Yeah.
Like bowling. But then the point of that is stand-up comedy is also a funny thing to be arrogant about, and that's what the show's about.
Yeah.
But it's because I am Pete Weber in the show. Yeah. Oh, people don't get it.
I'm such a misunderstood artist. Fuck. My alarm's so nice. Wake up every morning just trying to tell everyone. I like jokes.
I like jokes. And
it's just
Pete
a joke.
Weber.
Jokes, Pete Weber, and Jerry Adams.
I'm worried Jerry Adams is going to come to the show in Belfast.
Yeah, I'd say that. You'd be more worried about that than Pete Weber.
I want Pete Weber to come to the show in Nashville.
Yeah.
And I was supposed to do the show about him in Nashville, where I won't be able to sell any tickets, but I was only going to Nashville so that Pete Weber could see it. But then my visa got delayed, so I'm doing the new show there instead, which is fucking pointless because nobody's going to come.
Hooray!
But I'm scared of Jerry Adams, as we all should be.
Yeah. Mm. You've got a photo on your photo app here, which I think is, well, it looks like it could be the hands of Jerry Adams and Pete Weber.
Oh, yeah. That was just a stupid joke I did yesterday, which didn't get the reception I deserve. I tried to tap into the Twitter hive mind.
Oh, yeah?
With a little joke.
Oh, yeah?
Because I love jokes. I just love them. I think they're so good. Because have you seen recently, there was a picture that went around on Twitter of Kelly Osbourne, and her hands are fucking massive.
Really?
Like, it's fucking crazy. You got to go Kelly Osbourne hands on hips.
Get on Twitter, Hugh.
Get on X.com.
The Everything app. By everything you mean porn and Nazis.
It is mostly porn and Nazis at the minute.
Yeah.
And then you can go viral with the odd football thing now and then, but
that's it.
It's really tricky over there these days.
Yeah.
Here we are. Yo, that's such a good reaction. Look at the fucking size of her hands.
What?
That looks like a is it Ozempic hands? It feels Ozempic-y, doesn't it?
It really does.
Like, all of the weight has gone to her hands.
They're Greg Davies' hands.
They're fucking massive. Well, my joke on Twitter, which is why that giant handshake emoji was useful, is, you know, a classic Twitter joke format is this person, handshake, and then a thing about them, whatever it is. I've
perfectly
done like
described
a couple of those. But the joke was, it was Kelly Osbourne, King Charles, and then it was just two massive hands shaking,
yeah,
with nothing beneath it. But
yeah, pre-Musk, that would have gone well.
Yeah.
You didn't say anything about...
I should have posted it on Blue Sky, but then they would have had to go at me for body shaming the hands.
Fucking hell. I actually prefer the Nazis on Twitter to the dweebs on Blue Sky.
I haven't been on Blue Sky. Occasionally people ask me to like go over and do my stuff there instead, and I'm like, man,
no point.
I don't need another social media app to be part of.
Thanks very much, Victoria. Or Gurv Mila Mahagat.
Gurv Mila Mahagat. I had to ask my Irish teacher, and I'm trying to keep my identity secret in the Irish lesson. I try to I try to have activities where I'm fucking anonymous boy, and that's like such a cunty thing to be like, you think you're famous or whatever. But I joined a rugby team, and my plan was to tell none of them that I was a comedian. And I showed up, and immediately the captain was like, I have tickets to see you. And I was like, oh, it's over.
Game over.
It's over. It's over, it's over, it's over. So I haven't told anyone the Irish lesson, but I was like, yesterday I was like, oh, Louise, who's the lovely Irish teacher, how do you say thank you to like loads of people?
How would I like say thank you on a mailing list? Or
how do I say thank you on like the stage of a theatre? How would I say thank you there?
In Belfast on this day.
Gurv Míle Maith
whoa.
Maith instead of Maith.
What does that mean?
Well, just thank you. Like,
thanks be with all of you. Or something.
Yeah, whatever the plural version.
It's all like, hunger is on me.
Yeah,
like,
it's
so
a
sick,
weird, ancient, strange language. Yeah. It's so fun. You know the word for ladybird is God's little cow. That's nice.
That feels sexist.
That's nice. Well, well, this weird is the thing. It's like, yeah, that sounds cute and whatever, but try calling your girlfriend that. Here she is now. God's little cow. Home from work.
Oh. Well, we'll be milking Vittorio's. No, I don't want to say that.
Keep it.
Don't go anywhere, because after this break, I'm going to be seeing how Vittorio is helping Thor get laid.
Privacy settings with Will Seabag Montefiore on FUBAR Radio. Privacy settings on FUBAR Radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to Privacy Settings, the show which, like your phone screen, is mostly crack.
Hey,
that's nice, isn't it?
Yeah. I've never existed for an extended period with a cracked phone screen.
Mine's cracked on the back at the moment.
That's okay. Can you feel that?
A little bit, yeah. Do you want to have a go?
You're a caseless boy.
I am, which feels...
That feels crazy.
Abhorrent.
Why are you doing that?
Because my case broke and then I forgot to buy one, and that was about 2 years ago.
You were about to say months.
Yeah, but then I thought I'd be honest. It's been a really long time. So you have a WhatsApp here from Thor.
Which I literally, I got this today. This is crazy.
Oh, really? From Thorsten Haug. Very funny comedian.
Very funny comedian and lovely boy. Which you say about so few comedians, but he is a lovely boy.
Yeah. Can you do Thor's accent?
I can. Let me. I'm a Norwegian. I'm from Norway. I'm Thor. Thorsten Haug. And my parents called me Thor. You have started featuring on my dating algorithm.
It's perfect. So this is a picture of some ladies on
it's
a date.
Somebody's Hinge profile, I guess.
Yeah. And what I'd really like to find is someone to come with me to see Vittorio Angeloni and Finn Taylor.
What a dating preference. That's a good girl. You know what I mean? She's going to be good fun.
Yeah. Finn Taylor and Vittorio Angeloni, the Venn diagram there. It's a beautiful one.
Because if that's a man that says that on their dating profile...
Red flag.
That's not a good man.
No.
That's a bad boy.
That's someone a couple of drinks in starts to talk to you about a Roman salute. And you go,
Yeah.
That's mad. Surely that's bigger than selling out any place. Being on someone's dating profile.
Yeah. Alongside Finn as well. I like when we're paired together.
Yeah.
People forget that I'm involved with that whole...
Yeah.
Horatio really muscled his way in there.
He did, didn't he?
It was me first.
Yeah.
Finn came to me and said, I'd like to make an internet show. And I said, we should get Horatio involved. And now these fucking pricks have got their gay little history podcast. And I'm sat over here going, hello.
Pretty sure you
remember Finn versus the internet.
Yeah. Remember who wrote the jokes for that?
Some of them.
Some of them. Yeah, some of them.
Sometimes I do. Like, if I'm drunk, I'll be like, I write all the fucking bad ones.
Like a bitter old sportsman. I could have gone pro.
Man. I fucking tore my ACL. I could have done Finn versus history if I have injuries. Fuck off.
Right, let's look at some other WhatsApp messages. Got some rugby. Some rugby WhatsApps.
Ah, yeah, the boys.
The boys.
This is the most normal, like, social thing I'm part of. Just the rugby team.
HRFC men's first.
Haringey Rhinos Rugby Football Club men's first 15.
First 15.
Which is slightly misspelled. It should be HRRFC, surely.
Yeah.
This certainly just says Haringey Rugby Football Club. Yeah. It's Haringey Rhinos Rugby Football Club.
Or it's Haringey Rhinos Football Club.
I like the idea, first 15, we do not have multiple teams. Often we don't have 15.
It's just 15 people.
There's barely 15. Like, we've played matches where we've shown up with 14.
Yeah.
And gone, you're just going to have an extra guy today.
How long have you been playing with him?
A couple of years now. I am fucking loving it. I'm so sore all the time from playing rugby. And I'm putting a bit of a target on my back because I keep posting videos of me sidestepping people on the internet. And I shout woo when I sidestep people, which is so rude.
Like Ric Flair.
Not in the spirit of the game whatsoever. But yeah, it's starting to happen. We're like post games. People are like, have a good tour. And I'm like, God, you've been trying to fucking smash me all day, haven't you?
I want you to have a black eye for your next recording. This, I didn't know what I'd expect from a rugby football club WhatsApp group because I'm not in one of them.
Mm.
But a message from a guy called Tommy G.
Shout out to Tommy G.
Is absolutely what I should have expected.
Yeah, big time. Tommy G stopped fucking playing for us a year ago. He's just in the fucking WhatsApp group.
He's technically one of the second 15.
Yeah, he says he's worried about, like, getting injured because then he's a personal trainer and he's like, oh, I couldn't do my job if I got injured. And I'm like, you don't have to do the weights. Just tell other people to fucking do it.
Yeah.
But they're a great fucking bunch of lads. They're a great bunch of lads.
Because there's rugby happening now, right? And you've got the games in your calendar.
Yeah, big time. You have and all the Celtic calendar. Matches.
Yeah.
All the Celtic matches and all the... Well, I can never watch any of them. Like, there's always a clash with fucking some. That was the big chat. We're supposed to have rugby training on Thursday. And the Ireland matches on Thursday. And I was like, I'll come to training, but can we fucking keep it short and watch the match after?
Yeah. That's training in a way.
Yeah, we're learning.
Learning what to do and what not to do.
Learning from the best.
So this is great because we've got this recording in the diary.
It's in there. Foobar, privacy. And then straight after this, cooked chicken.
Yeah, which yesterday was cooked dinner. Which looks like took half an hour longer or 15 minutes longer.
Yeah. I'm putting events in and it's however long my thumb goes. That's whatever the fucking event is. Irish lesson last night. Very good fun.
Mm-hmm.
The hard drive handover actually happened today instead of yesterday.
What was the hard drive handover?
I am building like a content factory. I'm employing boys to just clip up everything I ever do.
Employing boys feels sketchy.
Yeah.
That's right.
Nice. Epsteinial.
Yeah, especially with your background. Your phone background is a young boy drinking a kind of Fanta.
That's how I pay them. That's how I pay my young boys. And my friend John Maher has a gig tonight that I need to wish him luck on. So I'm trying to get better at putting like stuff like that in the diary of just like regimenting me being a good person, because I'd like to be the type of person that wishes people good luck on big gigs.
Yeah,
but like,
it's hard to.
It
remember.
Feels weird to put it in your diary, but I've just started putting it in my diary.
I think it's good to normalize that. That's cool. A driving lesson tomorrow.
Yeah,
you learn how to drive.
Yeah, that would make sense, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I'm a journalist. I ask the big questions on this show. I think that probably means he's learning how to drive.
I am learning how to drive.
Don't think he teaches driving.
No.
That would be mad.
That would be a bit crazy. I'm sort of regretting learning how to drive manual.
Because
it's like, hard. I don't really know what the fucking point that, like.
It's so you can say, I drive stick.
It feels like just toxic masculinity.
Big time.
Like, that's the whole thing of driving manual. It's like, what is easier? The other way is easier.
It does all of the work.
And you
for
still
you.
Get there.
Yeah.
And you get a license that you can just do either. If you just get it, if you do your test automatic, they don't stop you from driving manual.
No.
What is the point?
I have no idea.
It's so fucking stupid. So, but this, my driving instructor is leaving Red Driving School like this week. So I'm wondering whether I bail out and get automatic lessons and just do the test automatic.
Yeah. Yeah. It does feel like, if someone's gonna be like, I like to feel, you know, I like to feel how the car is. It's like,
gay.
Yeah.
Well, you want to shag the car?
Yeah. I do.
Spooky.
That's, I want to grab.
I think those stick. People want to fuck the car up the exhaust.
Yeah. They want to grab the big dick of the.
Yeah, the gear it's thing. Weird. That's so. I want to feel it.
I want to feel it. Yeah.
I hate the clutch. It's annoying and bothersome to my life.
Horrible word as well.
Are you a driver?
Yeah. Yeah, I can drive.
Were you a passing at 17 type guy?
Yep. Passed my driving test first time with two minors, which was distracting, but it was nice to have the company.
There we go.
That's lovely stuff, isn't it?
There we go.
Yeah, my parents forced me to because I was like, I don't want to because of the environment. I was a wanker.
What the fuck? I've never heard of that. That's so funny.
I was such a little dickhead. And my parents were like, we have three children. Fucking learn how to drive. You need to drive your grandma places. And I was like, I don't know about the carbon emissions. And they were like, fuck off.
That's so funny.
You have to learn how to drive.
That's so funny.
And then I did. And then I did out of guilt. And I did really well. Sofa shop.
We need to buy a fucking sofa. We're sitting on the floor. Well,
you have no sofas. Do you want these chairs?
No, I don't think they would suit our living room aesthetic.
No, that's fair.
My girlfriend would hate these to be in the living
room. It would be really weird.
This is really anti-girlfriend. Girlfriends make your flat so nice.
So nice.
They make your flat. It's full of tat, but it's nice stuff.
Nice tat. I'd never thought about lighting until I lived with a girl.
Low lights. I'm a big light boy. No, what we're not allowed is an Amazon Echo.
Yeah, don't like them.
But I'd love to walk in and go, relaxing mode. And then it just all comes on.
Yeah. But
Alexa, relax.
But then they're listening to you and they'll know how
they're
relaxed
listening
you are.
Already. Our phones are in here.
Oh, fuck.
That got like confirmed recently that like they have actually been listening.
Really?
Yeah, and they were like, no, the algorithm is just so good. No, they've just truly been listening.
That's gross, isn't it?
The world is collapsing around us.
That's nice to be doing something as worthwhile as this.
All the politicians are pedophiles. Our phones are listening to us and we're all going to die soon from climate change or war. What do we want? Oh. What's happening? Well, come see my show on tour.
You're going to see something in person. That's the last bit of freedom you have.
I'm about to like do my first ever like opinion column for like a magazine or whatever. I think it's The Eye or like, I don't know what the fuck it is. But
I like jokes.
That's it. Yeah. No, it's just like my optimistic view on AI is that it will really sort of place value on the live experience.
Yeah,
and people
yeah.
will go to shows and go to gigs because it's happening in the room in front of them. And that's the only thing we'll be able to trust. Because anything on a screen can be fucked with. And I've been fooled by AI stuff recently. And you feel like such a stupid cunt.
So bad. Also, with all the Epstein stuff coming out, just everyone being like, that's AI.
It's, I mean, not that, like, you don't want to go full conspiracy brain, but it's like, it is good for them that everybody was like, oh, yeah, deep fix. Here's all these actual pedos. Deep fix. And you're like, whoa, hey.
We have no idea. Just because there's loads of evidence, we don't know if that's real.
Yeah.
We have no idea.
Could be AI.
So, because of all the pedophiles, you should go and see Vittorio on tour.
That's the crux of the matter.
Mm. When you listen to Costello music, do you think of Anne Costello, who introduced you to the idea of
apple on toast?
Incredible.
Have you ever had it?
Never.
Give that a go today.
I heard it on the way here and thought
Pink Lady would be the recommendation.
Pink Lady.
Or jazz. Those are my two favorite types of apple.
That surprises me. Pink Ladies are like, it's a lot happening in an apple.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I like it to taste of something.
Yeah, I thought I had you down as a Coxman.
Pardon?
Sorry, I changed the subject.
Crazy way to call me gay.
You like Bramley apples, if you know what I mean. You know?
I don't think I've ever had a Cox apple.
I don't even think I really know what they are.
I like a sweet apple. I also like sweet things that aren't very calorific, like mango. Fuck all calories in mango, and it's the tastiest thing in the world.
There's fuck all calories in them.
Fuck all. Mm. You can eat like fucking kilo of mango, and that would be so bad for you. Please don't do that.
62 calories per 100 grams.
That's fuck all.
That is mad. That feels like someone's cooking the books, man.
It feels like a cheat code because mango is legitimately one of the tastiest things in the world.
There's got to be something wrong with it.
Could we compare that to something? I feel like in the abstract, 62 calories per 100 grams, like how many calories are in, what should we compare it to? Shall I compare the, how many calories are in a summer's day?
I didn't realize you knew Shakespeare as well.
Of course I do. There's about 2,000 to 2,500 calories in a summer's day.
I
On a summer's day, the average person typically consumes around 2,000 to 2,500 calories.
This range can vary based on factors, of course it fucking can.
Which is what? 62 calories per 100 grams of mango? What's 2,500 divided by 62?
Quick, Hugh, quick.
Greg, get your abacus out.
And then ask about a winter's day.
Yes, I think slightly more, probably.
Well, 62 calories divided by... 62 divided by 2,500. I don't know. I'm not a mathematician.
2,500 divided by 62. How many 100 grams is of mango?
40.32.
And let's say a mango is like say it's 200 grams in a mango. You can eat 20 mangoes a day. And not go over your recommended daily allowance of calories.
Can you ask what would happen?
What would happen if you had 20 mangoes? Well, sorry, this suggested Google said, what would happen if you ate poop?
There's a lot of questions to be asked about what FUBAR staff are doing, because it's all...
Eating 20 mangoes a day would likely lead to significant health issues due to their high sugar content and the potential for weight gain.
Is this a thing where calories aren't actually that important? Like, the sugar content's more important?
What would happen if you ate poop?
That's the weirdest picture. There's an Asian man, and I hope his son, and he's handing him some food.
But it must be poop, given the context.
It must be poop.
It simply must be poop.
You could get bacterial infections, basically. You shouldn't eat poop.
But you should eat 20 mangoes a day.
What was that? That was a slight accent. I like that.
20 mangoes a day.
Set that as our alarm. That'd be quite nice, wouldn't it? We've sort of talked about your phone. Do you have a good relationship with it?
I think I find it difficult. I think a weird way I scroll is like, because I'm putting out a lot of content a lot of the time, I think I'm like scrolling through notifications and comments on my stuff more than I'm scrolling through like other people's stuff, which is sort of just this frantic like dopamine. Oh my God.
Yeah.
And I just cycle through like any notifications on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Patreon, blah, 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 YouTube. So it's just sort of that stuff. I'd like to hand it off. It's hard. I think it's so bad for you to like be on your phone at all. But then I'm sort of profiting in a huge way off people spending a lot of time on their phones. Like that's how I've built my career entirely. So it's a difficult thing of like, you know, you're making this content and you're like chopping up these clips to be like, and it's like, this is fucking wrecking people's brains.
Yeah.
But I don't like, so like that's sort like on a level, I just have to go, that's fucking very little to do with me. I just have to play on the pitch has been put in front of me.
Mm. Do you think you'll get a little boy to do it for you at some point?
I think at some point, yeah, I would like to sort of retire to the countryside and just be like, I'll show up and do my tour shows. You can fart out those clips.
Do the opposite of what Australia have done. You just get an army of children to be on your social media.
I think so.
They understand it better.
They're in touch with it. I had a like brutal moment of like, God, I'm an old person, where my cousin was trying to show me how to do something on my phone and they took it off me. I'm like, let me do it. I was like, am I 100?
Who should we get on the podcast next, Victoria?
Oh! I mean, Mike's the obvious option. I mean, his phone will be... God knows.
Be phone back.
Thank you!
Thank you for coming on.
No, thank you for having me. I feel like that is one of the most scatterbrained I've ever been on a podcast. What? I think it's because I podcasted for 2 hours this morning as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So my brain is just like really running on fumes right now.
That's nice. They're tasty fumes.
Mmm, baby.
They smell delicious.
Heil Hitler.
Oh, there's another clip. Hallelujah. Oh, it's too close. I like it. That's all we have time for, unfortunately. Victoria, I'm sad. I want to keep
going. I'm sad. I'm always sad.
For you at home, make sure to check out at Vittorio Angeloni on social media. Check out his podcast, Vittorio's Guide to Parenting.
There we go.
Go to VittorioAngeloni.com for tour tickets. As always, thank you for listening to Privacy Settings. If you want more from the show, subscribe to our YouTube channel or follow us on TikTok and Instagram, all at Privacy Settings FUBAR. Thanks for being here. See you next week. There'll be another episode, probably. Love you. Goodbye.
Fun.
Perfect.
Privacy Settings with Will Seabag Montefiore on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, listener. Yeah, that's right, you. This was such a great episode that we wanted to make sure you got as much out of it as possible. So here's a little bit of bonus chat. Enjoy.
Yeah. I'm shit at Irish.
Oh, yeah.
But that is fucking... That's better than I only knew some of that.
That's my full vocabulary.
I know Slanovalia.
Slanovalia, Ihiwa.
That's like just, what is that? Like, is it good luck? No, it's like.
Good night.
Ah, there we go.
Yeah. And then Ko Ilmavanya is, where is my milk? Where is the milk?
Didn't know that one. Don't know why I would.
Nope. And then Nola Konagwich, Merry Christmas?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have quite a, I think I would say, if I had to guess, like a Connemara pronunciation of your.
I think it's real posh Dublin.
But I'm really bad. Yeah, probably.
But I'll take Connemara. That's good.
But then they would be like Gwit in Dublin.
Oh, really?
Nola Konagwich.
Interesting.
Whereas we would say ditch.
Ditch.
And Gaeilge Ulla, the Irish of Ulster. I've done two Irish lessons in my whole entire life.
Oh, yeah?
And they were both in the past fortnight. And I am truly, it's so hard.
It's so hard.
Learning a language, it's not how my brain works.
No.
Like, I've got very basic Spanish and French just from school or whatever, but whatever, being 29, my brain is, whatever the opposite of a sponge is, that's my brain.
A piece of like petrified coral.
Yeah, my brain's petrified coral. Or just like a sodden sponge that can't take any more water.
Oh, that's nice, because that means you've got too much knowledge.
Yeah, pointless bullshit. I won all 5 days on Richard Osman's House of Games. How the fuck am I supposed to learn Irish?
There's no space in here.
I've got pointless trivia up here.
Yeah.
I know what the fourth bridge looks like, even though every other celebrity thought it was the Golden Gate Bridge.
They're different, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're both red, and it was a sunny picture in Scotland.
You like plays. I saw a play once about a lad who had to paint the fourth bridge, and it was that story of you had to keep painting it. You had to start painting it at the start of the year, you'd finish at the end of the year, and have to start again immediately.
Is that true of the fourth bridge as well as the Golden Gate Bridge?
I think so.
Ah.
Because he went mad because of the fumes.
Wow.
Yeah, I think it was called Diary of a Madman.
That sounds really good.
It was such a good play. I saw it at the Fringe, like in 2012.
Was it like auto-generative? Like, did the man write it, or was it an old play that
no,
he was doing?
It was a.
It sounds Beckettian.
Yeah, probably. Lots of talking.
But it's also who the fuck wrote Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn?
Yeah, that guy, fucking Mark Twain.
Yeah. He likes painting.
That's my level of knowledge, is that I'll remember who wrote it, but nothing else about it.
You know the bit where I think it's Tom Sawyer convinces them that painting the fence is really fun?
Yeah.
So he gets his friends to do his chores for him?
Yeah.
Because he's like, oh no, you wouldn't like painting this fence. It's too much fun for you. And his friends are like, no way, let me do that.
That's smart. Like teaching your kid that vacuuming is off limits.
This is a thing. My girlfriend is forever sending me like parenting stuff. And we're not expecting children and don't plan to have children like in the next little while, like we do eventually, but like she's like forever, I think she's like testing me like in advance, like to see if I'm like suitable. I think it is like a really deep biological thing that's happening with her, where she sort of like sends me like home stuff where it's like, what about this bit of interior design? What about this parenting technique? What about this? And I'm like, yeah, that's good or whatever. I don't know. And then, but there was one recently that was like, when your child asks you to like play with them, you don't have to like play with them. Like that's just because they want to spend time with you.
Yeah.
And the only way of spending time that they're aware of
is
playing with toys. If you go, let's do the dishes, they'll be like, sick.
Yeah.
They'll be buzzing off that. So just involve them in your life, that you don't have to sit down and like play with toys or whatever.
This is dangerously close to an actual guide to parenting.
I know. We must avoid. I think the natural thing to happen for Mike and my podcast, Mike and Vittoria's Guide to Parenting, is that we just have kids and then it actually becomes a parenting podcast.
No, then you change it. A guide to drinking and taking drugs.
guide to being stupid idiots.
Yeah. Right, I need to do like a you know, if I start the sentence saying I need to do this, you'd have to go, intro, please. I got you, Hugh.
Privacy settings with Will Seabag Montefiore on FUBAR Radio.